Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From tax cuts to spending increases, the government laid out its pre-budget plans earlier this week with the summer economic statement. With the threat, though, of US tariffs looming, will there be tough choices ahead? For more, I'm joined from our Cork studio by Seamus Coffey, Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council. Good morning, Seamus. How
morning,
are you?
Good morning, Philip. I'm very good.
Can we start with this report that the EU and US could be closing in on a 15% tariff deal? Paint a picture of what that would look like if indeed that is what comes to pass.
Yeah, I suppose there's still a huge level of uncertainty about what the outcome might be. But from Irish perspective, I suppose we're looking at a very significant component of our trade. Like when we do talk about these tariffs, we must remember that it is really only trade with the US. There's no indication that other countries are going to start imposing tariffs on each other. It certainly involves trade with the US. And if there was to be an agreement at 15%, we could perhaps look and see, would the EU itself place tariffs on imports coming into the EU from the US? Again, looking at US trade. And from an Irish perspective, our trade
and
with
the
US...
And we hear, don't we, that they have finalised a list of up to $93 billion worth of imports that would be hit with reciprocals.
Yes, and they could be, again, significant from our perspective, depending on what we're... You're looking at purchasing from the US. When it comes to us and our very large level of exports to the US, they are very concentrated. Yes, there's a wide range of goods that are sold to the US, but if you look at the biggest value, we send tens of billions of goods back to the US every year. In the main, they're concentrated in the pharmaceutical sector and likely to be concentrated in a small number of companies. And up to now, at least, pharmaceuticals have been excluded from the envelope of tariffs, although President Trump has made various claims about imposing tariffs of up to 200% on pharmaceuticals, but it hasn't come to pass yet. But we do have some indigenous sectors that would see the US as being a very large market, particularly in the food and drink sector. So, for example, Irish whiskey, Irish butter would all have very significant sales into the US and would have spent a lot of time in recent years developing the US market. If there were to be significant tariffs imposed and actually or new with Kerrygold have gone through tariffs under the previous President Trump administration, that could make sales in the US market much more difficult, and it would be then not straightforward to replace those markets, perhaps expand further into the EU or into other global markets. That takes time. So these areas have spent significant resources developing the US, and I think that the risk they're facing now is quite significant. So I think from the pharmaceutical sector, it could potentially affect tens of billions of our exports, but would be quite concentrated, and maybe the employment impact would be limited given the sales in other areas. But for the domestic sectors, such as food that's selling to the US, it would present a different risk.
There is also always the possibility that this is another false alarm and that President Trump is going to continue to play hokey-cokey in and out, on and off again, and that we don't actually wake up to any certainty on August the 2nd. Impact does that have, Seamus?
Oh, I think this is probably the most significant factor. The impact of the uncertainty that's been going on for the last maybe 6 or 7 months when these tariff announcements were made, beginning with the first ones back in April and then a delay to June, July, and now we're out as far as August. And you can imagine in boardrooms, particularly of the larger companies that are making very significant investment decisions, they really are in a sort of a state of pause at the moment, not knowing what's going to happen. And you can imagine very significant decisions are being delayed. And for a country like Ireland, which has very large amounts of inward investment, and you're continually looking at the pipeline, like some products are reaching the end of their life cycle, some facilities are reaching the end of their life cycle. Is the next cycle coming true? Is the next wave of investment coming true? And if you're in a position where that's been paused and subject to risk, that'll have an impact. Now, it would have an immediate impact in terms of factories shutting down. But when the current factories get to the end of their life cycle in the next 5, 7, 10 years, what will the investment be for the elements that replace that? It's likely, perhaps, that companies will seek to diversify their supply chain. Maybe that could involve more manufacturing in the US, maybe more manufacturing in other countries to try and mitigate the risk. So I think that the key thing, the big thing that the Trump administration have been doing in the last while is generating untold amounts of uncertainty. And it's that more, is even more so than the tariffs, is creating problems for countries like Ireland.
The summer economic statement published on Tuesday, you have analysed it in some detail and you think that the government has got its sums wrong.
Well, not necessarily that it's got its sums wrong now, but maybe that we didn't set out credible numbers right back at the start. If you look at the budget for 2025 set out last October, that indicated that the exchequer, the central spending, government spending, would rise by about 3 billion in 2025. And at the time, we'd have commented that that didn't look like a credible starting point for the increases that were likely this year. And if you look at the summary economic statement released this week, that 3 billion increase has been revised up by 3.3 billion. No, not revised to 3.3 billion, revised up by 3.3 billion. So the spending increases for 2025 included in the summer economic statement, which is supposed to tell us what will happen in next year's budget for 2026. But the spending increases for 2025 this week are actually greater than the original increases set out in last year's budget. And that undermines the credibility of the budgeting process if throughout the year you get these large increases. We can say at the start, always kind of moderate increases in spending. But if as you go through the year, they accelerate, and they do seem to be accelerating pretty rapidly, you get much larger increases. And looking at the numbers, it's like that the government didn't even go far enough this time. There'll be further increases for 2025 before the year is out.
How much? Well, I mean, how much will spending increase by in this summer economic statement?
Well, looking at the figures to date for 2025 and particularly current expenditure, now we have had a change in government and there has been some policy changes, particularly on the capital side, and perhaps that's understandable. But on day-to-day spending, the largest component of government spending is growing at close to 7% for the first 6 months of the year. The government aren't still even allowing for growth of that rate. And it looks like there could be a further billion of an increase to be budgeted for 2025. So when it comes to maybe the budget, we're likely to see the white paper come up before the budget. Again, it's likely to see 2025 spending revised up. But if you get this continual revising up, it erodes the credibility of your budgetary process. We produce a budget. The government produces a budget each October. That should set the parameters, at least for the following year. We'd be hoping to move to more medium-term planning where our budgeting is set out for a period of 2, 3, 4 years. It looks like we can't even get the current year right.
Okay. If, just going back to tariffs for a second, if the 15% rate does get imposed, does that remove any headroom in the budget, this $1.5 billion that's currently being talked about for tax cuts, does that get taken off the table straight away?
I think that sort of the picture that was painted in relation to the tariffs and the uncertainty and a possible deterioration in the economic environment was somewhat sort of unusual in the sense that you're looking at a potential negative hit to the Irish economy via tariffs, and we've experienced a number of negative hits in recent years. But in this instance, the government are saying if there is to be that negative hit from tariffs, that they would reduce the size of the budgetary package, that perhaps at a time when the economy might need support, if there were sectors suffering because of the impact of those tariffs, that actually the budgetary package would be less and the government would offer less support for the economy. Now, we have seen the reverse in recent years. We can go back as far as COVID, which was obviously a huge hit because large parts of the economy were shut down due to public health advice. But the government finances, the public finances, stepped in and supported households and businesses and offered more support when it was needed. And that ultimately turned out to be reasonably successful, although at an enormous cost. But now, a couple of years later, we're perhaps facing a much lower level of risk, but still at the potential for this negative hit and deterioration in economic conditions. And in the summer economic statement, the government said if this was to arise, they would revise their budgetary position and reduce the size of the budgetary package. It goes against sort of standard economic advice, which is that budgetary policy should be counter-cyclical. If when the economy is performing well as it is now, it doesn't need significant support, but then if there's to be a slowdown or a downturn or some hit, then the public finance should step in. So it is sort of, putting it in likely the reverse of what you might typically see, that you'd offer more support when the economy needs it. But in this instance, the government has said that they'll actually scale it back.
Final question to you. You've done an awful lot of work on carbon budgets and the fines that might be incurred by not reaching those targets by 2030. Yesterday, when we were talking to Minister Peter Burke, he said that this summer economic statement and the National Development Plan would all actually make reaching the carbon budgets easier, or hopefully easier, was what he said. Do you agree with them?
Well, I suppose, given that the National Development Plan is just that this week, we haven't looked at the impact on the carbon emissions yet, but it is something that we should be working towards. Given the commitments we've signed up to and given the enforcement mechanisms that are in place, we can choose to spend the money now on actually reducing our carbon emissions, making our energy cleaner and greener, or delay and wait and still end up spending the money sometime in the 2030s, but paying it in transfers to other countries that might have achieved their targets, whereas we'd have to buy credits for failing to achieve ours. So yes, we do have to spend the money on the capital side. It would be much better to do it now, actually reduce and get close to those targets rather than paying and buying carbon credits, potentially at huge cost, sometime in the 2030s.
Seamus Coffey, Chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, the Kingdom gears up for Sunday's All-Ireland.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.